mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight, he ain't doing nothing.
All right, let's click through some of these things that Brian Gutekunst said yesterday. Things that we discussed yesterday in the morning. Questions we had about the Green Bay Packers. Just trying to figure out how to start with this. Let's start with, honestly, because we talked about a lot of things, right? We talked about Christian Watson. We talked about Romeo Doubs. We talked about the wide receivers. We talked about the pass rush. We talked about all of these things, wondering what Brian Gutekunst was going to say about him. So I think we should start with, we talked about the pass rushers, but I want to hear again from Brian Gutekunst. So number one on the sheet, Joshy, about what he sees when he looks at the pass rush from last season being good enough going forward.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, and we talked a little bit about it earlier, is just the fact that we need to affect the quarterback with four. You know, and how we do that will kind of remains to be seen. But, you know, we had good moments last year, but it just needs to be more consistent. It needs to be able to control the game, and we need to control the game and finish games off. And, again, I'm excited about the guys we have in the room. We'll see if we add to it. But that's got to get better if we're going to accomplish our goals that we want to accomplish in this season.
I'm excited about the guys we have in that room. Chew, your reaction.
Well, I'm not. I mean, I'll give Lucas Van Ness one more year, but, I mean, he doesn't look like a starter in the NFL right now. And usually you have to give a guy time physically, you know, to mature. Like in my case, Jen, I came in, I think I was 237, right? If you're going to be a tight end, back in my day, because you had to be able to block, you can't play the position at 237. So I obviously had to put on weight. They gave me time to do that, eventually landing on 253. Lucas Van Ness came in as a specimen, right?
Hercules,
that's what they're calling the guy. So that's already there. It's the talent, you know, and I don't want to blow my own horn, but I had good hands. I had talent. I knew the game, right? I mean, saw that. What did you just say to Gabe?
Well, if you
you're on camera.
You just said, I don't want to blow my own horn.
I mean,
horn.
If you can blow your own horn, that's impressive.
So I'm just saying.
And there the phrase is toot. So yeah. If you're wondering what I said to Gabe, I said toot. Like.
So the athletic ability was there to get it done on my side, but the size was not. I don't see the ability in Van Ness. I'm sorry. I've seen enough film to be like, I don't think this guy can play. Well, Kenny Clark is a year older.
Yeah.
Right? He's not going to get better. He's a year older. He's on the backside. And then Rashawn Gary, Gabe, like you said, he's never had double-digit sacks. Going into your seventh year, you're slightly past prime, I think. Prime in the NFL for a D lineman is probably 5, 6, 7, unless you're special.
I look at Rashawn Gary, too. Like, I think he can be a good, if he's your secondary pass rusher.
Yes.
You know, like, oh, okay, like that guy, he can, you know, again, mm-hmm. They were really impressed with his ability to set the edge, which, again, it's not what he's getting paid for, but you take what you can get at this point. If he's your second guy, like, you feel pretty good about that. But they just don't have a primary guy. And Lucas Van Ness is supposed to be a strength guy who on multiple occasions couldn't outstrength a tight end. He couldn't get the bull rush on a tight end. He got stonewalled multiple times while trying to rush the passer against the tight end last year.
I just don't understand how you can say, and I don't know exactly the quote because it was a few minutes ago and my brain has already knocked it out. But basically, he was happy with the guys in the room.
He's excited about that.
Great. That makes more sense. The unit ranked 26th in pass rush win rate. I don't understand how you can say something like that. The obvious answer here is we have to upgrade at the position. We need more from the guys that we have, and we need to go out and get somebody who can light a fire under their you-know-whats. Like, that's what is obvious to the naked eye.
I felt like that's what I heard.
But he
without
can't.
Saying he it, said without, maybe because at a piece.
Here's the problem. He can't go, because he knows everything we know. Doesn't look like Myles Garrett, doesn't look like Max Crosby is going to be available. Jen just listed off the, you know, Madden creative players that are going to be available in free agency. Like, he's looking around knowing that there is a real possibility that they don't add anything substantial to that room because of what's actually available out there. And if one of the guys that he likes doesn't happen to fall to them in the draft, yeah, they might add a piece here and there. I don't think he can just come out and say, yeah, they stink, and then not do much about it, because he's kind of handcuffed based on what's actually available to teams in the pass rush department this offseason.
But you can say, and I know that he kept saying, we need to get pressure with four, we need to affect the quarterback with four. I will tell you this, guys. The thing that I took away from Goody yesterday that was the most significant was that phrase he kept using of control the game. When he said that, and he said it on both sides of the ball, he talked about it offensively and defensively, control the game, a light bulb went off in my head. Bing! That's exactly what, when I watch this Packers team, I see. An inability to control the game, to exert your will and dominance on the other team. That's what I see. They are more like buoys out there being moved around by the waves around them and sort of just reacting to it. If they happen to stumble their way into a score or stumble their way into a takeaway, great, wonderful, it worked. But I don't ever see them asserting their dominance. So that was the one big takeaway that I had from what Goody said yesterday, which was control the game. And I was like, you're 1,000,000% right. That is exactly what we are seeing. We are seeing a team that is not able to control the outcome of the game often enough.
Well, that's closing out the game, too. We talked about that during the season, where the defense, when the cards were on the table, everything's ready to go. How many times did they give up the lead? Yes, they were bailed out a couple of times by the offense in games like Tennessee and Houston when they were at Lambeau Field. But so many opportunities they had to make a big stop when it mattered, and they just didn't come through. And that comes down to, like you said, not being able to control the game, not being able to go, hey, we've got four guys, and we feel good about them getting after the quarterback and making that quarterback nervous and making a mistake.
I also think on the offensive side of the ball, there was no, aside from the Malik Willis games with Josh Jacobs, there was no, we're shutting this game down with a long, sustained drive, we're going to keep the clock and burn it. It felt like the Packers scored with explosive plays, got down the field fast, and then punched it in. There was no, like, we're going to do what the Lions do. We're going to keep running it, or San Francisco 49ers in the past. We're going to keep running it, we're going to control the clock, and we're going to systematically run down the field on you. It felt like you always needed a big explosive play. It wasn't necessarily, yep, they're just, end-to-end, they're better.
6 yards, five right. yards, 4 yards, you know, just these little, just kind of jabs that lead to those big four-minute drives.
I wonder if they, let's say they get a mid-range free agent D-end, right? Let's say they draft a corner in the first round and then a receiver in the second. I mean, yep. Where are they going to be ranked in the preseason in three of the four most important positions on the field? Obviously, quarterback's the most important. Then you take receiver, D-line, and cornerback. Where do you think the receivers are going to be ranked in the preseason, or the cornerback?
Middle of the pack.
Well, let's do it two ways. Adding a Davante Adams. Let's do it with adding a Davante Adams.
I don't think they're top 10.
They might be top 10.
I don't know.
With some of the depth that they have. I think if you add that number one receiver, it's amazing how things are going to start to make sense behind it. I think people are just going to fall into roles because you're going to have these clearly defined roles. Everybody's going to know, and it just kind of all falls into place.
All right. Well, let's just quickly go through it, okay? They're not better than my – if Tyreek Hill comes back, they're not better than Miami. They're not better than the Eagles. Are they better than Washington with Davante Adams?
Yes.
Are they better than the Ravens?
With Davante, yes. If we're just doing wide receivers.
They're not better than Cincinnati because they're going to
Well, it depends upon what happens with
they're
Cincinnati.
They're going to resign both guys.
Yeah, if right? they do, yep.
Well, T. Higgins
put cap
on that.
They're not better than Minnesota.
Yeah.
They're not better than Minnesota. They're probably not better than Houston with Nico Collins back. Tampa Bay, if they get Godwin back, no.
But, I mean, who knows if they've – even if they have Godwin, they got a couple of old guys who are always injured.
They may be – 10 would be
yeah, they'd be right around there.
10, 11, 12.
Are we just going to blow by whatever you guys were saying about T. Higgins?
Yeah, T. Higgins, the GM, said we're working on an extension, to which he responded with a blue cap, saying he's lying.
Okay, that's what that meant?
Yes.
Oh, I had no idea.
A blue cap?
I've never heard of that. Here we
go. It's an emoji.
Oh.
So How do
so
we
I can go like this?
This,
Gabe? If I give Angie's friend this signal, she should know that's a blue cap.
We might need to workshop it a little bit, buddy. If you tip your cap like that, it usually means...
Nice game.
Yeah. Good job. I appreciate you. I don't think you can tip your cap and just assume that people are going to know it means she's lying.
What so blue cap means lying?
Not blue. It's just that's what color the emoji is. It's cap and no cap. Right, Joshy? You're the cool guy here. Will's also back there. Part-time Will is back there. Maybe we should rely on part-time Will for the translation of the emoji.
It's just a slang term that's used for lying. You're capping. So the emoji then replaces you typing out cap. Because it is just a baseball cap.
I saw the cap. I had no idea what it meant.
Yes. It was in direct relation. It was shortly after the comments came out from their GM who spoke yesterday.
Right.
I just saw Ian Rappaport like tweet the emoji eyes, but I assumed that he didn't know what it meant, but felt like he had to respond, and that was the easiest way to do
Ian
it.
Ian Rappaport's more hip than you.
I mean, probably.
Hold on, but I've been hold on, Joshy. I've been sent the blue cap and had no idea what it meant.
Well, it might not necessarily.
Are you a liar?
I think it depends wholly who sent it to you.
Angry.
Angry called you a liar?
I don't know how up to.
Yeah, that could mean anything. With you olds, those emojis you're clicking could mean anything.
I prefer antique.
Yeah.
Vintage.
Vintage is better. I like vintage. You know what? T. Higgins is going to come out in about a week and be like, I don't know what y'all are talking about. I just signed a deal with lids. And we'll be like, oh, that makes sense. You signed a deal with lids. Right. But Ja'Marr Chase was the other thing, too. Didn't they say that they're working on a deal to make him the highest paid wide receiver? Highest paid player outside of quarterback, I believe, is the distinction I saw yesterday.
Yeah, that's like $30+ million we're looking at there for him. It's going to be hard to pay T. Higgins what
that's
he would require as well.
Probably what the blue cap was referencing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't think you're going to commit $60+ million to two wide receivers.
Oh, that'd be so sick if they did.
It would be.
Trey Hendrickson could become real expendable real fast.
But have fun having the bottom two defense again in the NFL. Feels pretty clear what their issues were in spending $65 million.
On the other side of the ball.
They need to make sure that offense, you know, continues to, you know, keep pace.
They're like greatest show on turf team two, right? Part two.
But there's also no chance that Goody's spending $33 million on a receiver.
No.
Yeah.
Because, again, that's going to be a double whammy, too. Because no matter what, I believe that they're still going to franchise tag T. Higgins.
I do think this time around, if T. Higgins was Devontae Adams and the Packers still had him, they would pay him that money. I don't think they're going to go outside of a guy they've had in the building for that.
Yeah, because that's the added value of the Devontae Adams is been there, done that.
Yes.
We don't have to get you up to speed that much. You know, there's subtle nuances. There'll be obviously changes because teams change things all the time. But he'll be ahead of any other curve than any other receiver would be in. I got a lot of stuff to get to here on Goody still, guys. And I think that there is valuable stuff. So we'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We'll continue talking about some of the things that Brian Gutekunst said about the Green Bay Packers yesterday at the NFL Combine.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, the Jewelry Center is the only place to go for that ring. They're the best place to shop for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason. And I believe that reason is the helpful team that Dean, the Dancing Machine, has put together. Whether you go to Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington, they're always going to be able to point you in the right direction, just like they did for me. I kind of had an idea of what I wanted it to look like, looked at some options, and the team made sure that I hit a home run when I got the engagement ring for my wife. They can do the same for you. And if you're somebody who doesn't have an idea, go to her Pinterest page. Maybe she's got something posted up there. Bring that in, and the Jewelry Center going to point you right in the right direction. Whether it's a naturally mined diamond, lab-grown diamond, whatever you're in your market for, when it comes to an engagement ring, the Jewelry Center has it. Like I said, stop into Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington. Take a look online at shoptjc.com. And when you go to the Jewelry Center, make sure you tell them that Gabe and Chew sent you.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yes, that would have been much worse ended up happening.
Finally got the which would be worse and what would be better. Finally we figured it out.
You can't just be showing your junk on national TV.
It would have got a lot of clicks.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I know this time of year is when a lot of people want to hit the reset button, whether it's fitness, wellness, or taking better care of ourselves. It is the time to do it right now, and that's where Quintessa Aesthetic Center comes in. Now through March 31st, Quintessa is offering special packages to help you start 2025 as a more confident you. Whether it's wellness, weight loss plans, Botox, skincare, or even IV therapy, they've got personalized options backed by medical expertise to help you look and feel your best. Check it all out at MyQuintessa.com and make this the year that you feel the most confident inside and out. All right, let's kind of rapid fire through some of these Goody things from yesterday, guys. Let's begin with what he had to say about Christian Watson missing time. Josh, you give me number five.
Yeah, I think obviously Christian's going to miss some time probably at the beginning, more than likely. We'll kind of see where that goes. But, yeah, I think, you know, that's going to create opportunities for some guys we have on the roster now that I'm excited for. So we'll kind of see how that shakes out. But we've got a long way to go. I mean, we've got free agency, the draft, everything coming up.
Chewy, what is he basing that on?
Crap. It's just a BS answer. It's just like, you know, he's just telling you nothing, right? And I see part of it. He doesn't want to show his hand.
Well, but also, like, we really know nothing in terms of his rehab at this point.
But we're no, so I'm talking far specifically out. About the part where he says this will be opportunities for other guys to step up. Christian Watson has been hurt before, unfortunately.
Yes.
I'm not trying to, like, you know, rub the guy's nose in it, but there, when he has been out, there have been opportunities for the other guys who currently exist in the Packers wide receivers room to step up,
like,
have they?
Like, Jen, the FU, the follow-up that we learned yesterday.
He's never going to forget that.
Been,
he's never going to forget that.
Good. It's called a legacy drop.
Yeah, should have been, well, didn't they have an opportunity to step up last year and they didn't?
Yes,
okay,
that's
Goody.
What I just said.
Right?
But also, like, what else you, I mean... Oh, I mean, they say that anytime somebody gets injured, who's a starter?
I know.
Oh, it's a lot of like, it's opportunity for somebody to step up.
We need more production from the receiver room. That's what we need. And one of these guys has to separate themselves and start trending towards a number one. That's how I would have answered it.
Everything's got to be political. Yes, you don't want to say anything. Like, Ted Thompson has never said anything interesting, and Brian Gutekunst subscribes to that as well. He's just not going to say anything. He's not going to tip his hand. He's not going to let you know that this is the direction that they're trending and heading in. It's just the way he operates.
Here was his reaction to Josh Jacobs saying that the team needs a wide receiver one, number four, Joshy.
Yeah, really what our players say in the media doesn't really affect our, you know, the way we're going to go about things. I have a lot of private conversations with our players, and that's very important to me. How they feel towards our locker room and our team is important to me, but what happened, it doesn't really move the needle for me.
Well, you know what, let me just ask you guys this, right? Because we're spinning our wheels. We've been spinning our wheels here for a couple years now, right? How long does Goody have to win a Super Bowl? I mean, great. Hey, we went 11-6. Wonderful. Hey, and lost in the first round. Great. You know, wonderful. I mean, if this keeps going on for 3 years, you know, 11-6, and then don't go anywhere in the playoffs, I'm sorry, man. You got to fire the guy. You got to fire the guy. Because I always said the greatest GMs are the ones that roll the dice and take chances, not that one that treads water. And I'm a four-year window wide open as opposed to 8 years of just half open. Sorry.
Yeah, but he still has 3 or 4 years, too, like before that's even. I mean, unless.
Give me 3 or 4, Gabe.
Unless everything implodes and they win 4 games next year. Then the seat becomes hot and it could become 2 years. But right now, on the track that they're on, yeah, he's got 3 or 4 years before I think it's even a conversation.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's good for the Redskins. You know what I mean? That's good for...
But it took you guys... I mean, it took you guys here. From the moment that Brett became the starter, it took you guys 3-4 years to win a Super Bowl.
I know, but Gabe, how many years are we into Goody already?
Yeah, Goody's been here for a long time, but it's the Jordan Love clock now. Like, it was a different job when Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback versus when you turn the page and turn it over to Jordan Love.
He's got 3 years. He has 3 years.
Yeah, 3 or 4 years, something like that.
I'm like tuna, okay?
I'm just thinking about that. I'm trying to imagine a world where the Green Bay Packers fire the GM.
Yeah. I mean, again, if you're not in a position, because previously the GMs win Super Bowls early. So that gave them the safety and the, I mean, leeway, in three or 4 years, if Goody hasn't won one, that's almost a decade into his tenure.
But wouldn't he lean on being a perennial postseason team? Wouldn't he lean on the record? Wouldn't he lean on the relative success?
Cool.
Listen, I'm with you. I don't think it's been good enough, right? And there are people out there who will say, oh, the Green Bay Packers fans are so spoiled. They don't even know a good thing when they have it. Because there is a precedent of winning championships. And so, yes, every year Packers fans go into the offseason saying, okay, we're close. We've been close. What do we got to do to take that next step?
Right now, he's obviously in the middle of whatever his plan is, right? Okay, here's the Jordan Love clock. It started. We have a plan. We're going to go. We're really young. Here's how we're going to build this thing out. In 3 years, like, that plan should be completed. Like, there's not going to be really pivoting off of that plan. So, yeah, in 3 or 4 years, if you haven't gotten to an NFC Championship game again, if you haven't won the division, if you haven't gotten to a Super Bowl, if you haven't done the things that's necessary to be on top, yeah, then that seat's hot and he's probably gone.
Isn't it probably most closely tied to Jordan Love? If Jordan Love ends up being not what he got paid for and they have to then enter into the QB roulette of drafting one, hoping that's where it comes to cross, I think, for Goody. Because,
well, yeah. But like, if in 3 years, if we don't think Jordan Love's good enough, yeah, then everybody's gone.
Right. So that's, like, to me where it happens. Just being like, you haven't achieved at the high enough. Like, that's what bad teams do. Bad teams are the ones who fire their coaches because they're making the playoffs or their GMs, but not going quite far enough and not committing the moves.
Well, so if they're just a 6 or 7 seed the next 3 years,
I think you can have a conversation.
That's NFL purgatory. Like, that's the worst place to be.
Right, but that's also, like, there's a lot of context needed in there. Like, shouldn't the Packers have been in a Super Bowl and Goody did enough, like, taking them to NFC Championship games and the Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur?
Yeah, but to me, the Aaron Rodgers era is done and over with. Like, he's now being judged, like, and he has said it as well. Like, his career is going to be tied to Jordan Love.
Right. But isn't there a time you need to pivot off your plan?
Yes.
We're not, I don't think we're anywhere near that, though.
Oh,
really?
I think we're near it.
We just completed year two of Jordan Love as the starter.
No, I know, but when you're close, and this is what we were saying, like, and again, this is what extends to the Brewers, with the Brewers being close and fans wanting them to go out and make a splash play or at least address some of the areas where they lost players. When you're close, I do feel like there is a responsibility by the front office to say, okay, we had a plan, right? And the plan seems to be going well, but we're so close that these little tweaks, these little additions could get us over the hump. And better ensure, it's a crapshoot, I understand, like, there's no guarantee that you put together a roster and it's going to win a Super Bowl. But do we get us closer to feeling confident that we could compete?
But they're not that close.
Gabe.
They're not that close. They finished third in the division last year as the 7 seed. Like, I would argue that they're not that close right now.
Gabe, look at the teams that have won the Super Bowl in the last whatever years. They all took chances. They all took chances. Go back to the Rams. What'd they do? You know what? Goff ain't working for us, man. He got us to a Super Bowl. And it still ain't working. What'd they do?
Yeah, they upgraded
their
quarterback.
They went and got Stafford, right? What'd Kansas City do? Holy cow, we're rolling. You know what? This Hill guy, I think he's a little low. Let's get rid of Hill, right? What'd they do? They still won Super Bowls.
Yeah, because they had Travis Kelce and they had Patrick Mahomes. Like, I feel...
But to your point, you feel like they don't have enough superstars, right?
Yeah.
You've said that over and over and over again. So go out and bleep and get one.
Where are you going to get one from?
Well,
we can sit here until we're blue in the face.
I agree with you because we have talked about Myles Garrett. We have talked about Max Crosby. We have talked about some of these guys. But maybe Devontae Adams is that guy.
Yeah,
maybe Devontae Adams is the and it's staring you. And this is where I think general managers have to avoid that gut reaction to I'm a zig when they want me to zag. No, just zag. In this instance, could you just zag? Mm-hmm. Everyone wants you to zag. We all think this is the right move. Just zag. You don't need to outsmart everybody. You don't need to show your acumen. Just do what makes the most sense.
Yeah, I'm Devontae Adams or bust at wide receiver. Like, I don't know if adding Stephon Diggs does anything for me. There's not really a wide receiver after Devontae that's going to get me really excited about that wide receiver room in 2025. They're just not. So if it's not Devontae Adams, and maybe he does decide that he wants to go play with Aaron Rodgers in the Los Angeles with the Rams because they gave the Eagles the best game out of anybody in the playoffs. And the Rams decide, hey, we still have some pieces. Yeah, we'll trade away Matthew Stafford. Let's make a run with it with Aaron. And Devontae decides to supplement because he wants to be on the West Coast.
Yeah, but you know what you do? You know what you do as the Packers? You overpay the flipping guy.
Why would the Rams overpay him? Just 1 second, and I know I don't want to get too off topic here, but why would the Rams cash in Matthew Stafford for an older, more challenging, more difficult Aaron Rodgers?
Because Stafford wants $50 million.
What's Rodgers going to take? Seven? Like
30?
Yeah.
What they're paying Stafford right now?
I suppose it could happen. I'd be very surprised if that ends up being the way this shakes out.
Yeah. I mean, Rodgers is going to be significantly cheaper.
I don't think that Sean McVay wants another stopgap.
No,
Sean McVay either wants to say, this is our quarterback of the future.
Stafford's also
a stopgap. You know what I think with McVay?
I'd keep the stopgap that you have.
But you know what I think with McVay, Jen? I think he's waiting to pull a Sean Payton. I'm going to take a year. I think I'm going to retire, take a year off, go do TV for a year, and then go to a new place where he can start anew.
He's already floated
he's kinda,
that.
Yeah, yeah. He's spinning wheels there.
I back to the Packers. I think we might be falling victim to rushing to judgment to Goody not doing things that he hasn't even had the opportunity to do yet. Like Devontae, he can't even talk about at this point. He even said as much when he was sort of some of the things were floated out there. Like I think we would be in the right to be upset by sort of inaction, just sort of mid-level free agents, guys who could maybe get better, we don't know, and then draft picks. I think you would be within your right, but he did say they have a sense of urgency. So either we have to believe those were empty words that had no intention, or...
Which wouldn't be the first time from him.
Right. Or he does view it as this team needs more superstars and we need to use all our avenues to get better.
Again, my problem with that is that this free agent class, and he talked about it a little bit about it yesterday, this free agent class stinks.
Right.
It's bad. Like, there's no backup plan for, well, if you don't get Devontae, you can fall back on this guy. Like, the first, like, two or three guys, all it is mid-level free agents.
Let me ask you this. Why does this crap seem to only happen in Green Bay, right? You get rid of Rodgers, which seemed to be the right move, right?
Yeah.
You don't give Devontae the money when you should have gave it to him, right?
Yeah.
You're going to lose a top five player on the roster this year because he won't play in Jair, right? Why does that only happen to Green Bay?
It doesn't. It happens in a lot of other places. We're just not hyper locked in and focused. I mean, take a look at the Giants let two All-Pros walk out the door last year in Saquon Barkley and Xavier McKinney. Let both those guys, first team All-Pro, walk out the
door. And what do we think of the Giants?
Yeah, they're
a bad team.
And
what do we think of the Giants?
Yeah.
They're buffoons, right?
Yeah, but I mean, again, you talked about the Chiefs. They decided to trade away Tyreek Hill. The same thing the Packers did with Devontae Adams.
The Eagles lost Hassan Reddick.
Yeah. Like teams lose really good players all the time.
But they recycle them, and they get better, and they trade for A.J. Brown, and he drafts well. He gets Carter and Bond. Could they have gotten Bond? Because the draft side is the other part of it.
Well, but Bond,
now,
like,
Jay,
Bond,
if anybody thought Zach Bond was
an All-Pro, they would have done it. Like, Goody's done that.
He was an edge rusher.
Yeah, the Packers have done that with Devondre Campbell. Like, they've done that at different times. Like, this is not a Packers-exclusive thing. This is a thing that we pay attention to the Packers the most, but it happens elsewhere in the league.
But if they don't do anything with the D-line, now do you have to keep Eric Stoch, which was a bad pick, because you're going to lose a top five player on your team? Something you really don't want to do, but you backed yourself into a corner where you have to.
I don't know if they have to. I still think that Goody left that door open. I think there's a chance that Jair's on the team next year.
And I don't think Jair and Eric Stokes are related. If one is there, the other's gone.
No, I'm saying from the D-line standpoint, because you can't have crap corners out there when your D-line is 26 in the league.
I would
then
agree.
You're going to get smoked. Then you have zero chance.
Yeah, look, but there's just no way. I don't know where they're going to upgrade on the defensive line outside of trying to get somebody in the first round. And, again, then you supplement with a mid-level free agent and kind of hope that Van Ness and Gary get better.
It does feel like we are in a sort of loop of having to address the defensive line every year now. Like, theoretically, it's one that you'd like to be able to get, sort of what we had talked about with the wide receivers, Gabe, where you kind of are filling and you're filling and you're filling, and then you've got wily veterans and you've got new guys with a lot of potential, and you're kind of, you know, cover your bases that way. It sort of feels like now, right, the Packers are forced to address this every year and address it in a major way, not just in a, oh, let's supplement the back end because we got this guy who's aging out and he has served us well, but he still can be valuable in a certain sense. Like, I don't love that about the defensive line.
Yeah, because they haven't hit on the guys that they took, to Chewy's point. Like, they haven't hit those guys, so that's why you have to continuously
address it
until you actually hit on one of those
drafts. Well, and that feels like a knock on Goody. Feels like something that we need to be, you know,
100%.
Maybe a little more critical about. Interesting stuff. Lots of people weighing in. 800-990-3776. That's our Carbless talk and text line. List is more. Remember, you can also stream the show on YouTube, and the YouTube comments have been popping off as well. We'll get to some of your reaction. And look, it sounds to me like there is some frustration about Gutekunst's track record, even though the Packers have been very good, even though they have been perennial playoff teams. There's some frustration in that the moves he has made have not gotten him over the hump. And oh, by the way, you talked about Jair a minute ago. There is someone else on the Packers roster who Gabe is nervous might not be on the roster next year. We'll address that when we return on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. You guys have heard me talk about being at the State Fair and seeing a sauna, thinking, you know, I've always wanted to have a sauna in my house. Right? I had one at the gym. I could go to the gym and use their sauna, but having one in my house would be a difference maker, a game changer. So that's what I did. I bought a Good Health sauna from the State Fair. I've had it for a little over a year, and it has been remarkable. Extra energy, flexibility. My skin looks better. I am sleeping better. You guys, as we get older, we know how important sleep is to just our ability to get through the day. I am sleeping so much better thanks to my Good Health sauna. You can find the infrared sauna that is perfect for you and your family at goodhealthsaunas.com/Jen. There is a discount code where you can get $500 to $800 off your unit at Good Health Saunas. So go to goodhealthsaunas.com/Jen to see what Good Health Saunas has for you.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm right-handed, but I'm with Gabe here. I think more confident in my left hand here, just cupping right now, other than my other hand.
Mostly because I also
I get a lot more work out of the right
here. On 94.5 ESPN.
Jaws in Milwaukee says Chewy, without a team owner demanding excellence and questioning repeatedly underwhelming first-round picks, Goody has plenty of job security. Relevance, not excellence, has driven this organization under Mark Murphy. Fair or unfair?
I guess partially fair, right? I think we get blinded a little bit by their regular season record. Which, who cares? It's all about playoffs. You got
to
make.
Well, yeah, but playoffs. You have to have a good record in the regular season in order to set yourself up
famously
for the most success in the postseason.
Sure. Let's keep doing this for the next 3 years. You know, let's win a Super Bowl every 25 years. You know, wonderful.
Did you just put those sunglasses on over your cap? Have they been there the whole time?
I got to go pull crab traps after this with a bad back.
Oh, poor baby.
Go out on the boat and on the water.
Josh, come to my defense. Josh.
It's hard work.
I've seen the most dangerous catch. It's not an easy job.
You were like a kid on the debate stage who was given a topic, and they were like, go!
After what we've gone through here and being like, oh, I might get sun in my eyes as I'm pulling crab traps off the coast.
I know. And Florida. Last time you showed us the spread, it was quite lucrative for you, right? Like, you guys pulled like...
Yeah, it was a good day.
You ate okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, why is your back bad? Because you're finally lifting again?
No, this chair stinks. It's on me, though. Because Angie goes through...
Sure it's not the rocks? What?
No. What are rocks?
Oh, come on. The rocks you had to move?
No, that's far enough from me because it was feeling good, but Angie goes through an ergonomic chair. Is that correct?
Yeah. Ergonomic, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nailed it.
So she went through one about 3 weeks ago, and I gave it away. And I took this one because it's cushiony, but it's like a mattress with the springs popping out, and it's just terrible. And
get yourself
Josh,
a Herman
you
Miller.
You kind of know I'm not hunching as much today.
I did notice that. You seem closer to the camera. I don't know if I like it.
Well, can I stand up? Because standing up feels better.
You would have to adjust your camera.
Okay. Yeah, How's this? Is this better? We can't even do it.
That looks terrible.
I can't see it, but I'm assuming it's something that we don't want to be looking at.
Yeah.
It just looks like he's on top of it. You know the meme, you got games on your phone? That's what he looks like right now, looking straight down at it.
I'll go back down. Oh, so I'll suffer through it.
Of course you will.
Hey, thank you for your sacrifice.
Yeah.
Last thing I want to mention before we move on here is, Gabe, you said to us this morning in the production meeting you are very concerned, based on what was said yesterday by Brian Gutekunst, that there is another player who was very productive and consistent for the Green Bay Packers this past year who you're not sure will be on the roster this year. Go ahead and break that news to our loyal listeners.
So Brian Gutekunst, when asked about Braden McManus, yeah, we'd love to. We're working towards that end. We'll see where that goes. That doesn't give me confidence that Braden McManus is going to be a Green Bay Packer in 2025. I thought we had solved our kicking issues, and then when you pair that with, when we asked Jason a week or 2 weeks ago about McManus, say, hey, why haven't they signed him yet? Seems like this is a no-brainer, easy deal. You lock him up long-term, don't have to worry about the kicker and all the different ones we've had to deal with
before
that.
Clear it from your to-do list.
Correct. Just, it's the easiest one to accomplish, because the other one, like Devontae, we're still waiting for the Jets to release him. This is one you can control. And when he said, well, maybe, you know, they haven't gotten it done because maybe Braden McManus doesn't want to be a Packer. He wants to see what his market is and potentially go elsewhere. I'm pretty nervous that Braden McManus isn't going to be in green and gold and we're going to be back to the Narv dogs of the world.
I got to be honest with you. When Gabe said that this morning, it sent a shiver up my spine because those were tough times. You know, but bringing in guys, having them try out, trotting them out there, they miss, we're back to the drawing board. Like, that was a tough, and whether you want to, you know, overinflate the kicker's significance or the kicker's value on a team, not having to worry about that guy going out there and getting you some points when you're not able to get it in the end zone, that was huge.
Goody's on the record. If you want to be a championship team, you have to have a championship kicker.
But to me, it sounds like he doesn't want to be here.
Yeah.
I don't think he moved his family up here or anything like that.
Correct.
And it is a tough place. One of the tougher places to kick because of the weather and the wind and all that. So, I mean, maybe he's going to kick the tires. I don't know. I'm with you, though. I just don't feel great about it, and I don't want to go back to where we were at the beginning of last year.
Like, if they want to overpay a little bit for the kicker, hey, we just found out there's a bunch of money in the salary cap coming that the NFL's given teams. Like, yeah, go ahead. Overpay for the kicker.
So let me
I would
ask
pay
you
a little bit more for the kicker not to have to worry about it.
If he does go somewhere else, would you draft one?
No.
Probably not, but
drafting specialist hasn't worked in Green Bay. That's been a thing that we've proven out. So signing a free agent is a two-way street. He has to agree. Even if he doesn't accept more money because he has a preferred destination in mind, for whatever reason, a former coach or whatever, you have to deal with that. But I agree with Gabe totally. If you got to incentivize him with an extra $1 million or $2 a year, go out and do it. Just because the headache of what that provided and entering into this game again of the roulette of who are you going to sign? Who's the kicker? Is the kicker good enough this week or next week? It's just not worth it.
Chewy, what's the opposite of heebie-jeebie? Because you had the teammate who would put heebie-jeebies on kickers to make them miss kicks. What's the? Because I was doing the opposite, hoping that the Narv dogs and the Anders Carlsons would be actually making kicks.
Praying.
I'll have it for you tomorrow. I gotta ask Bull. I don't even know if there is one.
Whatever it is, that's what I was doing.
Okay.
Whenever the Packers kickers trotted on the field, just hoping that they would kick one between the uprights.
Well, and you're not the only one, because famously Tom Rinaldi told us that Matt LaFleur was praying when the kicker would go out on the field, all right? And he'll never live that down, whether
that
Matt LaFleur would like to
ago.
Or not. And that was two seasons ago.
I don't want to deal with it again.
No. I still hate that we have to talk this much about kicker,
I like kickers when you don't think about them.
Yeah,
best type of kicker to have. Oh,
just so great.
And I don't even need the best kicker.
No. Mason Crosby was
top
the best
half.
Kicker. Yeah. Mason Crosby was the best kicker, but I had faith that he wouldn't. Everything was on the line outside of 2012 that guy was going to come through. And he did, more often than not.
Well, that was really good stuff, Gabe, and really made us feel even better about the state of the Green Bay Packers this morning.
Happy
Look, we're
help.
Not trying to be doomsdayers by any means, but I did think, since we were trying to, like, glean everything we could from Brian Gutekunst's appearances yesterday, that that was one that would probably fly under the radar, but shouldn't, especially given the level of confidence and comfort the Packers fans found themselves in once they knew McManus was on the roster and kicking field goals. And that may not be the case going forward. Again, not to overinflate it, but I think it's one of those things that when that comfort is gone, you really start to notice it. And it sounds like, Gabe, you've got PTSD from a few seasons ago.
Hopefully we don't get to a week from Monday and they're just, you know, that legal tampering window opens. If they don't get this deal done within the week and next week and a half, like each passing day, I just get more and more nervous about
it. Also, if they don't think McManus is coming back, you know who's coming back into town?
No.
It's Onters.
No.
Because he's one of the preferred options.
I know.
That's available.
I know.
That's scary.
I don't want that.
I never want to see him again. Wish
he
him the best.
He's such a nice guy, too.
Wish him the best.
All accounts, he was the nicest guy, good kid. And then he had success after he left the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, so much success, he might be available as a free agent.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. LL Cool Whip weighing in on the YouTube stream says, why make a roster hole when you don't have a hole in the first place? Obviously referring to McManus, but because he is a free agent, he will have agency over his future as well.
Yeah, it kind of seems like it's a him decision that he doesn't want to be in Green Bay. And, I mean, you wouldn't franchise a kicker, right?
Yeah,
that seems like a bad idea.
Ugh. No.
What would the going rate be for a franchise kicker, by the way?
I don't know.
I could look it up here.
You know what? I'm desperate enough that I might do it.
I was just going to say, this will be the first time in the history of the internet that anyone has Googled what is a franchise tag for a kicker. And I kind of like that about us. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Wrap up the show right after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Thanks, Ernie. I'm going to Venmo you that money right after the show.
You don't know how to use Venmo.
Made my workload much less. But Ernie.
You don't know how to Ernie, do it. And I don't know
does
how
it
to
ever?
It, so it's
yeah.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Josh, you did, in fact, earn the distinction of being the first person ever to Google what is the franchise for a kicker. And what was the number, Joshy?
The franchise tag seems to be around $6.218 million.
Do it. Do it right now. Just do it right now. Let's just do it, and let's just, don't have to worry about it. Just do it right now, and make sure you've got your kicker for next year. You got extra money. The free agent class stinks. You're not spending it anywhere. Spend the $6 million on a kicker and let's move on.
I would say that's a hot take, but I actually agree with it.
Just do it.
It feels reasonable. Will D and Tausch is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great one, everybody.